Thank you so much, Rocky. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, verse 35 today. I'm going to jump around a little today, which I don't regularly do, but we'll start in Acts in just a little bit. We're now in the third week of a series about God's blessings. We've been looking at things that God has blessed us with, but not necessarily things that we would maybe normally think of. Like if I had you write down things that God blessed you with, we would put things down like family or friends or house or the clothes that you wear or the job that you work at or the car that you drive. And those are great blessings, and they definitely come from God. But we've been looking at some not your ordinary kind of blessings, some less obvious things, some that maybe we normally wouldn't think of. We started talking about how we were blessed with the need for one another, the need for each other in our lives. And last week we talked about how we're blessed with the burden that God gives us from His heart, how God shares a piece of His heart with us and invites us to be part of His plan and His awesome plan. But what a blessing that was. I hope this week that you've all prayed about that burden. I'm armed and ready. I've given you your week's notice now. If you were here, I'm probably going to come up and ask you, what is it that God's laid in your heart? Now, I did have several questions about that. When we say burden, it's always in a negative context. Last week, I talked about a burden being in a positive context. When God lays something on your heart that was on His heart. I hope that you've asked the Lord, what's my burden? God, what do you want me to do? And I hope that you're working toward that. I may come up and ask you. I warned you. This is your second warning. I may come up and ask you later, well, exactly what is your burden? What has God placed on your heart? So I hope that you will have an answer for that. The neat thing about it, we're blessed to be part of God's work. We're blessed that God gives us an opportunity to share in His plan, to share His heart with us. Today we're going to look at another part of that, how God includes us and gives us an opportunity to share in His work. We're going to talk about another blessing, amazing blessing. Today we're going to look at how we're blessed to be a blessing. We're blessed with an opportunity to be generous. A few weeks ago on a Sunday night, I shared some statistics, let me say that right. You can't say it either, so don't get on. Statistics, they really surprised me. I want to share with you again this morning. Some group did a study, Barna did a group, and they asked a group of Americans how much they needed to be happy. Now, if you were here on Sunday night, you just get to re-listen to this. The response was interesting. The people that made $20,000 a year said that in order to be happy, they needed to make $40,000 a year. And the people that made $40,000 a year, they said in order to be happy, they needed to make $80,000 a year. And the people that made $80,000 a year, they said they needed to make $160,000 a year to be happy. True study, almost every time they needed to make twice what they already made in order to be happy. Everybody, even the man, they interviewed 10 people that said they made $200,000 or more. And they said, we just need about double that. We always need a little bit more in order to be happy. So when asked how much do you need to be happy or to consider yourself blessed, the answer from most people is always just a little bit more. I just need a little bit more. It's interesting as I thought about that statistic and what if you ask me, and I 100% agree with the premise of their findings. If you ask me, I can truthfully tell you that I don't have enough either. And looking at this group out there, I can tell you that you don't have enough either. I know that that's dangerous. You're saying, hang on, Daniel, how can you look at my life and tell me that I don't have enough? It's because of this. We don't have enough, church. We have grossly more than enough. And as I thought about that and really began to pray about it this week, I challenge you, I'm going to step on some toes today. I'm going to step on my own toes today. But I want us to realize, some of you may say, hey, you don't know, Daniel, I'm broker than snot. I don't have anything. You like that illustration? It's pretty broke, isn't it? I want you to realize, many of you are here this morning, got clothes in your back. You probably have eaten breakfast. If not, you already have plans for lunch. You know, most of us, I just challenge you, and we'll see Wednesday night. We're going to watch some videos about Samaritan's Purse. Go to Africa. Go to Russia. Spend some time in a place outside of America, and you'll see what it means to not have enough. What it means to literally be starving to death. What it means to be sick with strep throat and be dying from it because antibiotics are not available. Because you don't have the money or the resources. We have more than enough, church. Man, it's quiet in here. We have more than enough. I want to set it up that way. Before we go any further than that, I want us to realize most of us have a toilet that flushes, a bed to sleep in, a house to live in. Most of the houses are air-conditioned with more than one or two or three bedrooms. Most of us have a TV to watch and shoes to wear, and some of us have an outfit for every day of the year. And I'm not getting on to us at all for that. I just want us to realize before we go any further in this sermon today that God has blessed us with more than enough. We have more than enough. God has taken care of that. We have to understand before we go any further, even if you have $10 to your name today, I want you to realize that compared to the standard of poor in the world, you have way more than enough. If you live in America, you have more than enough. God has blessed you, and God blesses us for a reason. And that's what we're going to look at today. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing. In Acts 20:35, if you want to read it with me, the interesting thing about this text is Jesus did not say it in the New Testament. You won't find this verse in the New Testament. I'm not trying to confuse anybody, but I do want to explain. You know, every word that Jesus ever said is not recorded in the Bible. Did you know that? Surprise, that thing would be thicker than this pulpit here. Every word that Jesus said is not recorded in the Bible. So, when you go to the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, the Gospels, you're not going to see this. Paul quotes Christ, and he says, let's just read it, Acts 20:35. He said, "In everything I showed you, that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, that he himself said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It's more blessed to give than to receive. Jesus' words out of the book of Acts. Jesus says, you're more blessed to what? Say it. To give than to what? Receive. Okay, do you really believe that this morning? Really believe that this morning? Think if we're honest with ourselves, most of us don't. We don't believe, and I can tell you how I know we don't believe. I'm going to talk about giving money this morning. You know it. I know it. I warned you last week about it. Some people probably didn't show up because of it. I'm going to talk about it. Now, I'm not talking about just tithing this morning, so don't get your guard too much. But I want you to realize that most of us, when I say that, go, "Oh no, I really don't like what's about to happen. I really don't like sitting in this pew and listening to what Daniel's going to say for the next 35 minutes. And you're nervous and you're dreading it a little bit. And in fact, you're going to watch every word I say today more so than you ever do any other sermon. You're going to try to find fault with it. You're going to try to test it and work your way out of it. I do the same thing. I'm lumping myself right in with you because you realize that this makes you uncomfortable. That's how I know that we don't really believe what Jesus said. You realize that the standards of giving apply to your pastor the same way they do each of you. But we all get uncomfortable because we don't believe what Jesus said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Because if we did, we would be leaning forward in our seats. All right, this is going to be exciting. I'm ready to hear this. I need to hear this. I want to hear this. This is going to be great. This is exactly what I want to hear. I can't wait to hear a message about giving. Get me the tape, Sue or Carolyn. I want to listen to this again next week. Now, we're just not doing that, and we wouldn't do that, and I told you why. We really don't believe what Jesus said. We're more blessed to give than to receive. The reason I know what you're thinking and feeling, I've been through there. I know a little bit about that. It's a tough thing for me. It's hard for me to let go of my money. I remember really struggling with this through college. I worked at a full-time job. I made pretty good money. My dad worked at was a supervisor at a factory, and as students, you could work if your parents worked there. And for a student, I made almost $20 an hour. And when I was in high school and the first years of college, that was a lot of money for someone living with their parents. And we got double time for working on weekends. And I worked weekends. I worked every chance that I could. And I lived with my parents. They paid for all my bills. They paid for my food. I had my gasoline, my truck, and my college to pay for. And I took care of it. And I had a lot of money extra. So what I did is I bought stuff. Man, I bought stuff. I bought guns and four-wheelers and televisions and phones. And my wife will laugh because when we dated in high school, I was the only person you've seen Saved by the Bell. These generations probably haven't, some of them. Craig, yeah, y'all said, yeah, I know that generation has. We lived on it. Zach Morris was the coolest guy in the world, and he had a cell phone with an antenna that long. I had that phone. the only person in the world back when talking on the phone cost like 50 cents a minute. I had that phone, and I remember it was 2 cents a minute after 8 o'clock. And so when Catherine and I dated, we would talk after 8 o'clock, 2 cents a minute. And I would rack up $200 or $300 phone bills. And it wasn't a big deal because I had money and it was my money and I could spend it how I wanted. And I tell you, through my junior year in college, I was going to a Christian school. I still had the understanding that my parents tithed for me. That they took care of that on Sunday morning. They had taught me better than that. But somewhere through the way, my money, it was my money. And I spent it the way I wanted. Junior year of college, I was sitting in a church service. A preacher started talking about tithing. For the first time I saw it in Scripture, it really, really bothered me. So I began to pray and say, God, I want to be more generous. I want to use my money for you. And so for the next 2 years, God showed me how to do that. Still not perfect at it, but I tell you, my brother and I felt led to open a youth center in town, downtown Meeker, kind of like downtown Dillion is the same way. And so we went down there and we found a building. The lady wanted $400 a month rent for it, and we had electric to turn on and gas and water and phone, and we had to fill it with televisions and games and ping pong tables and all that to attract kids, and we needed to buy Bibles for the kids. And there was no money except for what my brother and I made. So I said, you know what? Whatever I have left every month, God, you can do. So I would pay for my college tuition, and I would put one tank of gas in my car, and everything else I would sink into this youth center. I mean, thousands of dollars. And I'm not bragging on myself, but we got to the point where I just learned, God, my money is yours, and I wanted you to use it. And people were crazy. When I came here, Sue will tell you, it drove her crazy. Man, when we had a youth event coming up, and we had to buy food, I just would go out and buy, and she would say, no, Daniel, we have a youth budget. You can spend the church's money on this. And it really bothered me because I'd been so accustomed to paying out of my pocket. And I realized, church, that's where we need to be. And I'm still not there yet. But I remember what it meant to love my money and to hold on to it and to desire it and to do what I wanted to with it. I struggled with it. It's difficult. Even today, when I write a tithe check, it's very difficult for me, and I pray about it often. I see stuff instead of cash. So when, like, God says, you need to give $500 to this, I see a new deer rifle. And that's not good, but we do it, and we all do it. I see something nice that we can buy for a house or a new television or a new this and a new that, and I see stuff that I can do with it rather than stuff that God can do with it. And as I read the Scripture today, and I studied this week, and I knew I was going to have to speak on this. Again, God just started convicting me. We miss it. Till my junior year of high school, I thought my parents tithed for me. I thought I was okay. I didn't even understand really what a tithe was. We're going to talk about it this morning. But I learned an important lesson about giving. I learned what God told me was to round up. To round up. It's a great principle, church. Round up. It's funny, I saw a credit card commercial the other day that they do that. They say every time you swipe your card, if it's $3.70, they'll put 30 cents. They'll round up to $4 and they'll put 30 cents in a savings account for you. They round up and save it. They got the same principle down. But God started telling me, you know what, Daniel, round up. If you're thinking about giving, okay, I need a tithe this week. Is it 120 or 150 or 200? You know, what do I need to give? Round up. Always give the bigger number. Someone comes into the church and they need help, and God's led me to help them, and they need $20, and I'm fighting about whether they need 20 or 40. Round up. Give them the bigger number every time. And as I did that, I started to say, you know what, God, I'm going to round up when it comes to giving. Because most of us, when we're honest, we're in the habit of rounding down. We give the minimum. We give the minimum to make us comfortable and to get by. And as God began to teach me that, to round up. So I started doing it, not just with my tithe at church, but my giving to others, even my tips to waitresses. And what I began to understand is it's more of a blessing to give than to receive. The Bible was true. It's right. Now, it wasn't intentional, but one morning after a Easter sunrise service, my wife and I were dating at the time, and we have a 6 o'clock Easter sunrise there in Meeker, and we went to sunrise, and afterwards we were just 10 minutes from IHOP, the International House of Pancakes. And so all the college students there, we said, let's go to IHOP and eat. So we drove in a car and went to IHOP, and I remember I sat down and ate my Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity. You students know what that is. man, pancakes that high, strawberries on top, sausages. I'm hungry now. Y'all are too. Now I'm going to have to really hurry. But we get there and eat, and we're walking out, and I'm looking. There's a group of about 20 people eating at the table, and most of them are college students, and I see the tips that are going on the table, and I'm thinking, it needs to be a little better than that. So as we're leaving, I've already paid for my food. My friend's walking back to put his tip on, and I reached my pocket, billfold, and pulled out a $10 bill, handed him a $10 bill, and said, put this on the table, just add it to the tip. She was really good. And so he goes back, and with all their money, I thought, that's a good tip. He goes back and sets in. I come out and get in the truck, and my wife is with me. I look at my wallet, and I'm missing a $100 bill. And I said, I've dropped $100. Oh, no. Well, a $10 bill is there. Oh, no. I realize what I've done. And Zach, my friend, he comes out, and I said, Zach, how much money did I hand you? $100. And I said, and did it ever enter your mind maybe $100 is a little extreme? Considering I could have bought everybody's meal for that $100. And he laughed and said, I thought it was a little weird. I thought, man, he's really generous and wouldn't put it on the table. So I go, oh, man, I'm going to have to go in there and get that off the table and do the switch. So I walk in there and thought, this is going to be awkward. And I look in the back, and there in IHOP, she's in the kitchen area, tears just streaming down her face, jumping up and down with one of her coworkers because she's got this $100 tip. And I went. And I walked outside, but you know what? I wouldn't take that $100 back if I could. If I could go back and not make that mistake, I would give that $100 a thousand times over because I realized I had blessed that young lady's life. Unintentionally, I can't brag on myself. It was a total accident. I'm not making myself out to be a hero. But what I am saying is I blessed her. The Lord blessed her. And it was such a blessing to me to see the look on her face, to see how happy that made her. I don't know her situations, but I know that $100 absolutely changed her day. It was more of a blessing to give than to receive. And God blesses us. I've already established the fact that we're blessed, church. God blesses us to be a blessing. Two awesome truths from Scripture. We don't always, though, handle God's blessings right. I have three big mistakes that we're going to go through real quick before we start our main text. This is what we do with God's blessings typically. First, we are apt to ignore them totally. Sometimes we just ignore the God's blessings. We ignore them. We don't acknowledge them at all. We will be very blessed, but yet we live a life just ignoring what God has done. We do this when we complain about what we do not have. Man, we've got 20,000. I just want 40. I make 40. I just want 80. I got one nice car to drive. I want the newest model out there. That's we just ignore. We don't ever consider, man, God, you've really blessed me. What can I do with this? Because our eyes are always on the next thing and the newest thing and the best thing or the thing that we want next. We ignore God's blessings and we just focus on more. Secondly, if we don't ignore them, we apologize for them. Now, this is an interesting one. I thought about it some. We do this. As Christians, we do this. I find myself doing this. In fact, I did it a while back. We saved for like 5 years. My wife has wanted a hot tub all of her life, and we can't afford like a $10,000 hot tub or whatever. But I saved up $2,000, and over a course of like 5 years, put money in the bank, and it wasn't an easy purchase. I'm apologizing right now. Do you hear me? I want you to know that it wasn't easy. Do you hear me? Seriously, okay? That's exactly what we do, and we saved up and bought this hot tub, have it in the back. Catherine used it every night. She uses it. She loves this thing. I mean, she could live in it if she could. If her skin didn't wrinkle up, she'd just stay in it all the time. Cooked. She'd boil like a lobster. That's what she does. She loves it. But had guests come in my house. Oh, y'all have a hot tub. Yeah, I got it half off. We do it all the time. I want him to know or them to know I paid half as much for it. I'm not wealthy. We saved and saved and saved for 5 years before we could finally buy it. Because why? I'm apologizing because God has blessed us. And I'm embarrassed by the blessing that God has given us. And so I apologize for it. We do it all the time. Hey, that's a really nice car. Yeah, I got in a deal, used lot, you know, had 100 miles on it and scratched down the side. And we do it all the time. We want people to know, hey, that's a wonderful shirt. Kohl's, 50% off. First thing we do it all the time. If it's something that we know is valuable, we want people to know we're not wealthy. We're embarrassed by what we have, and so we make sure that we apologize for it. We're embarrassed by the blessing God's giving. Now, apply that. When somebody comes up and says, man, James Lauren, y'all have a wonderful marriage. You say, oh, no, it's not as good as you think. You know, seriously? Just looks like that from the outside, but really is half off. We don't do that. We acknowledge, maybe James does. We acknowledge, yeah, God has really blessed me with a good wife. We are blessed. We don't do that. We do that with material stuff. We make excuses. So we ignore them or we apologize for them. And I'm saying it's okay. I'm not talking about a gospel of prosperity and that we ought to flaunt our money. If you're using it for the Lord and God blesses you, though, it's okay to say, yes, the Lord blessed us with that. We are very excited about it. God is good to us, and we're excited about it. That's okay. We shouldn't apologize for God's blessings. We say, thank you. God is good to us. Now, if we take credit for it, that's not good. But when we give God credit, yeah, thank you. God has really blessed us with that. We either ignore Him, we apologize for Him, or the third that handles God's blessings incorrectly are those that hoard them. They just hoard them to themselves. Here's what's really tragic. Listen to this. Studies have shown over and over and over again that the less people have, listen carefully, the less people have, the more they give. Isn't that crazy? The less people have, the more they give. Studies have shown consistently that in our country especially, the less people have, the more proportionally to that than they give. The more that people have, the smaller percentages they give. So thus, the more people are blessed statistically, the less that they bless others. Isn't that sad? Isn't that crazy? See, because what happens when we get wealthy, we can become proud of our wealth and we rely on our wealth and we love our wealth to the point that we live for our wealth. We're blessed to be a blessing. And our giving ought to always be proportionate to the blessing, or way more so. When God blesses you, you ought to give more than you receive. It's more of a blessing to give than to receive. But sometimes we hoard it. We're going to get that blessed to be a blessing inside of us somehow today. We'll stay all day if we have to. I want us to embrace it. This sermon is not just about tithing. In fact, it's not about tithing at all. What I'm talking about today is generosity. What I'm talking about today is allowing the Lord to deposit in our hearts and lives that we become generous people, a generous church. You know, I want you to write it down real big if you're taking notes today, and it's going to be on the screen. Tithing, I think I may have it on the screen. Tithing is not giving. Tithing is not giving. Imprint that on your mind real quick. It ought to make you kind of go, what? What are you talking about, Daniel? Tithing is not giving. What do I mean? I mean exactly what I said. Tithing is not giving. Some people will say, well, I am so generous because I tithe. But tithing is not being generous. Sorry. If you tithe and that's all you do, you're not a generous person. Ouch, huh? But tithing is not giving. Tithing is not generosity. I'm going to explain why in just a second. I'm going to prove it to you. Look in Leviticus real quick, 27:30. If you want to turn there, you can. It's going to be on the screen. Yeah, I've got a good portion of it. I'm going to go ahead and turn there because I'm going to read a little bit more of it, I think. Leviticus 27:30. 27:30, it says, well, we'll start... 28. Nevertheless, anything which a man sets apart to the Lord out of all that he has, of a man or animal, or the fields of his own property, shall not be sold or redeemed. Anything devoted to destruction is most holy to the Lord. Verse 29. No one who may have been set apart among men shall be ransomed. He shall surely be put to death. Verse 30. Thus all the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. It is holy to the Lord. Okay, that's on the screen. Thus, how much of the tithe? All of the tithe of the land, of the seed of the land, or of the fruit of the tree is the Lord's. Realize that was the way that you made money. Everything listed, every source of income, Leviticus lists, all of the tithe, all 10% of that, is to be whose? The Lord's. And it is what? Holy, which means set apart to the Lord. A tenth of everything from the land, whether grain or soil or fruit from the trees, is the Lord's. Now, the Hebrew word for tithe comes from the word maser, M-A-A-S-E-R. It means to tip a tenth. There's no discrepancy there, no argument. It's a tenth. A tenth of what? A tenth of everything. So our tithe comes out of everything we make, before taxes, before bills, even before insurance, by the way. All that is taken out. We take the tithe before all that is taken out. It's a tenth of everything. And who does the tithe belong to? The Lord. It's set apart. It's holy to Him. So the tithe is His.
Notice that it does not say, give your tithe to God. That's not the point. It's not give your tithe to God. It belongs to Him. It's already His. You bring it into the storehouse, is what the text says later. You carry it into the storehouse. You bring it to Him. It's already His. So tithing is not giving. Tithing is not giving. It's funny. It actually means if you don't tithe, you're stealing. That's a tough statement. If you don't tithe, you're stealing from God. There's no difference if you walk to the back of the room right now where the plate is, took a $20 bill out of it, went to Highway 6 or Dairy Queen, bought you a hamburger and an ice cream cone. You would be eating God's hamburger and God's ice cream cone. You would have stolen that from the Lord. Malachi 3:8 says that. Will a man rob God? I think it's on the screen. Will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me, but you say, how have we robbed you? Look in the next words. In tithes and offerings. In your 10% and what you give beyond it. So maybe you're not eating stolen ice cream from Dairy Queen, but maybe you just drove a stolen car to church today. Ever think about that? When you have a $300 car payment and you need to tithe $200 because that's what you made that month, but you don't have it, so you put that money on a car payment, you've taken God's money and bought yourself a car. And you've driven a stolen vehicle to church today. I know that's hard. That's what Scripture says. I didn't write it, didn't make it up. God says that's what a tithe is. Malachi says, will a man rob God in his tithes and offerings? When you understand that tithing is biblical, it's the starting point for our finances. It's our starting point for our income. But tithing is just the starting point. I promise you, I'm going to be done with tithing in just a second. I just want you to see, tithing is returning to God what is already His. It's for beginners. Man, when you become a Christian, that's the starting point. We start with the tithe. We start with the 10%. And I know many of you here are already tithers, but this is where we bring what isn't ours to God. It's His property. It's like you borrow someone's chainsaw, men, and you use their chainsaw, and then for Christmas you've got to buy your friend something, so you take their chainsaw, wrap it up in a big box, and say, here, Merry Christmas. And they open that up and say, that's already mine. What are you doing? That's exactly what we're doing when we're taking a tithe and we have the idea that we're giving it to God. We're taking something that's already God's and saying, hey, God, I'm so generous. Here's your property back. It doesn't make sense. The tithe is already God's. It's His property. It belongs to Him. So we're done of talking about tithing. We're blessed to be a blessing. God gives us money. We give a tenth to Him. That's the tithe. The rest of it, we're still supposed to use for Him. That's where we're going. We're done talking about tithing. It's a given. If you're here today and you believe God's word, you should be tithing. If you do not or you have not, maybe today you didn't, my advice to you, you're not going to be able to make up for the past probably. I don't want to break you, but I want you to commit from this day forward. Maybe you need to come in the office this week or next week and make up for it today. I've been there. But God's word says it's His money. And if we're going to live blessed lives, we have to give Him His first. Maybe you need to double it next week. Get me on this. It's not because the church needs your money. It's not because God needs your money. It's because you're commanded to in Scripture. It's because God's word says to give it to the Lord, to bring your tithe into the storehouse. And I better say this, and not just any storehouse. It was very understood in the Old Testament. This was the temple. In the New Testament, it was the church. So you bring your money to the Lord. When you give somebody money, it's like, Rocky, here's you $25, but I'm going to tell you what you want to buy with it. Is that right? No. But we do it all the time, church. We say, okay, that little line on that check, we say, here's my tithe, God. I'm designating it to the building fund. I'm designating it to the youth department. I'm designating it to my project. You can designate all the money you want, that's yours, but you don't designate God's money. God says you bring Him, that's His money. It's His tithe. You give it to the church. You bring it and you say, God, this is yours. You use it how you want to use it. It's yours. You don't designate tithe money. Your 10% is not to be designated. I don't know what you do. I'm not stepping on toes. And I better go ahead and say this, and Sue can hold me accountable. I do not look at tithing records at all. Not one time. I don't scroll through envelopes. I don't look. I couldn't tell you how much you give or how little you give. I don't do it. I won't do it. I stay hands off finances. But I am saying God's word says you bring your tithe into the storehouse. You give it to him. It's his money. You don't tell him how to spend it. You come in obedience and you bring it to the Lord. Christianity 101. Biblical obedience 101. If you need to change, it's in your court now. But you know now what God says. Not Daniel or First Baptist Church, but what God's word says. But tithing is not my thrust this morning. It's just the starting point. God blesses us to be a blessing. He blesses us to teach us to be generous. He blesses us to include us in his work. He does not need our money. He wants us to be involved. He wants us to be changed. He is after hearts of generosity, not bank accounts full of money. We are blessed so that we can be a blessing. We're going to go through three quick ways that you're blessed to be a blessing. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 through 7. We are blessed to give joyfully. It says, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Give little and you will get little in return, but sow generously and you will reap generously. It's a principle of God, but when you give it, each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's cool, the word cheerful here in the Greek, it literally means hilariously. Hilariously. It's like the one who's going, woohoo, I get to give $200 to the Lord this Sunday. I'm so excited. I get to give. It's hilarious. I'm so happy. I get to be more blessed because I get to be a blessing. That's the thrust of this verse. We're blessed when we give joyfully. So really the big difference between maturity and immaturity. Think about Christmas. It's coming up. When you were a kid, what did you think about? What was under that tree, right? The youth are like, yeah. That's what matters. Did I get my iPod or my iPhone or, whatever you asked for Christmas, my Xbox? Did I get what I wanted for Christmas? When you're a kid, that's all you think about. But when you're adult, things change. All of a sudden, you're responsible. Man, I got to get Samuel something. What's he really going to like? And Caleb and Isaac and my wife and our cousins and grandkids. You change totally. You start to think, what do I want to give? What am I going to give that's going to make people happy? What am I going to give that's going to bless? We totally change. I remember when that happened. I'm embarrassed. All of our Christmases growing up, my brother and I, my parents, we'd go together, $20 each. They'd have one present each under the tree. We'd have like mountains. It'd be a stack the present time. Here's our presents. Here you go, Mom and Dad. Merry Christmas. You do it. We all do it. I remember the first time it changed, junior year, when God really started to change me financially. I said, God, you know what? My parents have blessed me in every way. I'm going to outdo them this Christmas. My parents love Thomas Kincaid. My dad loves it. We went to an art store. I found a true print Thomas Kincaid that has a guy fishing. My dad's a fisherman. I knew he would love it. It was a lot of money. I saved up, and I bought that thing, and we wrapped it up, and my brother helped. We went in together with it, and Christmas morning, we didn't say anything about it. We had our pile, they had their pile, and we pulled out that last thing and said, here you go. I learned something. I'd begin to mature. It's more blessed to give than to receive. They'd blessed us all those years. They had six boys living in their house at that time going to college. They deserved a picture. I tell you, it changed. I was growing up. We all do that. It becomes more joyful to give than to receive. It's a part of maturity. We grow up and mature, and when we do it, it becomes a joy to give. We're blessed with an opportunity to give joyfully. Secondly, we are blessed with an opportunity to give extravagantly. You know, church, every now and then it's okay just to go crazy and give in such a way that just blows people's minds. Just give in such a way where people look at you and go, man, that was irresponsible. That was absolutely crazy. When's the last time you gave that way? Where it just shook people's heads and say, did you see how much he just gave? How are they going to eat tomorrow? That's what this woman in Scripture did. Most likely she was the prostitute that had been forgiven by Jesus. And one day, Mark chapter 14, verse 3, if you want to turn there and read it with me. I know most of you know the story. Mark 14, verse 3. Jesus with disciples, and in comes this woman with this extremely expensive jar of perfume, of nard. And it's worth like a year or years of wages of work. And what she does, she shatters this thing and she pours it all over Jesus. She just gives it to him. And the people around the disciples, they're going, are you kidding me? You should have sold that and gave it to the poor. You're crazy. That was so nuts. A year's worth of wages. And Jesus said, you should have given that to the poor. Is that what he said? Look on the screen. Mark 14:3, Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She's done a good deed to me. In fact, right after that, Jesus goes on, 14:3. I'll find it real quick. You may be there before I am. He said, for you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you do not always have me. She has done what she could. She's anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken of in memory of her. Man, it was extraordinary enough that Jesus said it's going to go in the gospel, and everywhere that it's told, people are going to hear her story again and again and again. Man, have you ever given so extravagantly that someone said, I'm going to have to tell this over and over and over again. I'm going to have to share what so-and-so did when they bless a Samaritan's purse or the clothes closet of the food pantry or individual town or the church or whatever the need is that you all of a sudden see and you go, wow, I'm just going to give everything. I'm going to give crazy amounts of money where people go, man, you're crazy. I'm clearing out my 401k, whatever it takes, God, because this is what I'm called to do. I'm going to be blessed because I know it's more blessed to give than to receive. I'm going to give extravagantly. That's what we're blessed to do. God says he blesses us to give joyfully. He blesses us to give extravagantly. He wants us to lose control. A year's wages, this woman sees Jesus and she just pours it out all over him. Sometimes you just have to give that way. When's the last time you've given to anything extravagantly? More than people expect. More than even you expected. Then the last point, you give joyfully, you give extravagantly, and you give sacrificially. You give in such a way that you're not giving out of what's left over, but you're giving out of something that you wanted, out of something that you needed. You give in such a way that you feel it, that it hurts you, that it costs you something. Mark 12:43. We'll start in 41. And he sat down opposite the treasurer and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums, but a poor widow came and put in 2 small copper coins, which amount to a cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury, for they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on. It's a beautiful story. This little widow, she had nothing to live on. I mean nothing. 2 coins to equal a cent. She walks into church. She opens up her little purse. She pulls out her 2 pennies, or her 2 coins that equal a penny. She drops them in the offering bucket, and the rich people go, what's up with that? Do you really think God can do anything with that money? Do you really think that the little penny is going to do anything in the church? That's not going to do anything, you dumb old lady. And Jesus is there. And when Jesus speaks, he says what? The poor widow put in what? More. More. She rounded up. She put in that treasury more than all the others, Jesus said. They gave out of their wealth, but she gave out of her poverty. She put in everything, all that she had to live on. All that she had to live on. See, God doesn't want your money. If so, he would have said, those 2 pennies don't matter. God is after your heart. God is after hearts of generosity. Hearts that give to him because we realize that all of our resources are his and we're blessed, more blessed to give than to receive. So I'm going to live a life that I give more than I receive. And this woman came and she knew that was breakfast tomorrow morning or lunch the next day. And here it is, God, because I know it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I know I don't have, but I know you're going to provide because you're going to bless me. So she put in all she had to live on. She gave everything. And how do we give? We say, well, I need this much, and I'll give this much. But this woman said, I need this, but I'm going to give it to God. I know I've been saving for this, but I'm going to give it to God. My prayer is that we become a church and a people so radically generous that people look at you and they praise God because of what you're giving, because of how you've been a blessing to so many people. My prayer is that God would make us big, big, big givers. Not tithers. We ought to be tithers already. Don't confuse that. Big givers to to the church, to the community, to those around us, to our families, to our friends, to wherever God leads you to plant yourself. My prayer is that that's where we would find ourselves giving and being obedient. God is our provider, and we have more than enough, church. We have more than enough as individuals. And how it breaks heart, God's heart, when we don't give joyfully, when we don't give extravagantly, when we don't give sacrificially, when God has blessed us so much. I'll talk to you just for a second about the most generous person to ever live, and we'll close. Let me give a little time or a little money, but I'll be honest. Not for a single person in here, not for anything, would I give one of my children. I wouldn't give a single one of my kids to you or for you. I would never a single one, any of my kids, even when they're the worst ever. I wouldn't do it. I'm not that generous. I'm not that generous. I wouldn't do it. It wouldn't matter what it cost me, not under any circumstances. But that's what God did for us. That's what God did for us. For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son. That's how much He loves you. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was without sin, holy and perfect, died on the cross, gave His life, shed His blood, so that our sins could be forgiven. So that we could be changed. That's what God did for us. He gave us His life. He was generous. It cost Him. But you know what? He did it joyfully. Because He knew He was more blessed to give than to receive. He did it extravagantly. Cost Him His life. Did it sacrificially. As He gave up His only Son. God was generous, and He wants us to be generous. He wants us to have hearts that are generous. God gave it all for us, church. He gave His life. And I believe our only reasonable response is to give our lives back to Him. What does that mean? You think I've been hard so far. What does that mean? It means we give everything. Not just a tenth, not just a portion, not just the excess, not what's comfortable. We give all of us. Our hopes, our dreams, our hurts, our fears, our resources, our time, it's all His. That's where generosity comes from. As we give ourselves to God, and we say, God, here I am. God blesses us because He wants to give us more of an opportunity to bless others. It's more blessed to give than to receive. It's Scripture. It's truth. I challenge you, church, this Thanksgiving season, this Christmas season, do it. Throughout the year, do it, but you're going to have opportunity. Give extravagantly. Give joyfully. Give sacrificially. Not just your tithe. That's a given. But give way above and beyond that and see what God will do through your life. If you don't know Christ today, if you don't know what it is to be saved, God's given generously. He's provided His only Son. Send Him to die on a cross, perfect Jesus Christ, give His life for us so that we could be forgiven. If you've not made that decision, if you never accepted Christ, just a second, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be down front. I want you to step out of the aisle and come down. Maybe you may make another decision. You need to join the church today, or maybe you just need to come pray. The altar will be open. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You for today. Thank You for Your word, Lord, and Father, though challenging to myself, and I know everyone here, Father, we want to obey it. We want to live by it. Father, and I just pray that the storehouses that we've built up in our lives, the mountains of stuff that we've accumulated, Father, even the time that we have, Father, that we call our own, Lord, I pray that You split those storehouses open today. Break them down, Father, where we become hearts that are open and ready to give and to share our time, our resources, our money, whatever it takes, Father, to serve You and Your kingdom, Father. It's Yours anyway. It always has been. It always will be, Father. I just pray that You give us the wisdom, the courage, Father, the strength, Lord, Father, and the love for others, Father, to give to You everything, every day of our lives, Father, that we would just become vessels that use the resources and stewards that use what You give us, Father, to Your glory. Father, I pray if there's one here today that doesn't know You, Father, the altar will be open, Lord, and I pray that You would give them the courage to step out and come and accept Jesus today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand.